the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio
Countdown. It is really wide open, and it really depends upon who turns out.
I haven't seen that with the clarity that I want to see.
I think you're going to end up with three or four people that are going to be between 17 and 23%. And four people can go out of here saying they have a ticket to New Hampshire.
There's Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, and Iowa Congressman Steve King. Three key Republican politicians in Iowa, all of whom have yet to endorse any of the candidates running for president. The GOP race for the presidency is where we start this hour of your Talk Radio Roundup. I'm Doug Steffen. Let's go to television first. CNN Soledad O'Brien talks to Congressman Steve King of Iowa, who explained why he's been unable to give his support to any of the candidates.
Why all the volatility? What's it about?
Well, I think the way to characterize this race, Soledad, is this, that it has been a never-ending series of King of the Hill. I'd even go back
for a minute at each time.
Well, even Tim Pawlenty, he was the first one to claim the Hill. He started early, and he ran an expensive campaign and well-organized, and he got to the straw poll, and the morning after, he decided that he would pull the plug on his race. He was favored going in and finished, I think, third and pulled out of the race. And Michelle Bachmann won the straw poll. She got maybe 5 minutes because Rick Perry jumped in right in the middle of the straw poll. He went to the top of the polls. The cycle went on.
Right, and it looks like this if you're following it.
It does.
So why? What explains that volatility?
Well, King of the Hill explains it. If you're at the top of the hill, everybody has to try to pull you down, and your negatives get illuminated, and there's a lot of scrutiny that goes on. And so if you've got five or six people trying to pull you off of the hill, eventually they do that. Someone else takes the top of the hill. I think what Mitt Romney has done, though, he's hung around the summit. He hasn't actually claimed the top of the hill and decided he was going to own it until about now.
How much of it is it that the voters just feel about the candidates, that there's no real love for somebody really emerging?
Well, they have been going shopping. They look at a candidate and they think, I like all these things about them, but it isn't all the things that I want to see in the next president of the United States. So it holds some of them back, and it's true. We don't have a perfect candidate, but we could make a perfect candidate out of the candidates that are there. And that's the difference. There is, it isn't all embodied in one.
Which would be what? What's the perfect candidate out of the candidates? The what of Newt Gingrich? The what of Mitt Romney?
I'd go this way. If I want the consummate executive that I know the trains will run on time, who has an executive office in business and in the political world, that's Mitt Romney. He will run the shop and it'll be efficient. If you want somebody who understands the full flow of history and how all of government works, not just how a smaller executive branch works, but all of government, that's Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, who is brilliant, and he will bring a lot of things to the table, and he'll change the game. He is a game changer. There's a little risk with the game changers, but you can do glorious things. And I'd go to Ron Paul. I give him a significant credit for what he's done for constitutionalism, limited government, cutting the spending down, and going down through all that. But his weak spot is this idea of national defense being bring all of our military back to the United States. The vacuum that and power that would be created globally would be a calamity that Americans would pay for, and we could never recover from such a decision, and a president could make that decision unchecked. Rick Santorum, he's very, very strong on constitutionalism, life, and families, and he's very good and very knowledgeable about the radical Islam component in the world. He'd be strong in both of those categories. Not as good an understanding, I don't think, of the economics. He hasn't lived it the way some others have. Michelle Bachmann checks all of the boxes for me. She gets all of these pieces right. Her instincts are right.
Except,
so the traction in the campaign is part of it, and that's kind of where it stands.
Are you going to endorse somebody?
At this point, I haven't made a
right
decision.
Right now, on my new show?
I would have been really nice if I could have woken up this morning and I would have had that epiphany and I'd have been able to make that endorsement. I said it has to be a conviction, and unless and until a conviction comes, I'm not going to be able to do that.
So in a few moments, more on the Iowa situation, the race for the presidency, up next here on The Countdown.
The war had been going on for 2 years, and I got the call. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Attention hip implant patients. Are you in constant pain? Have you received a letter from your doctor about your implant? Have you had or need a revision surgery? Do you have high levels of metal, chromium, or cobalt in your blood? Over 90,000 hip implant devices have been recalled due to defects and failures resulting in revision or replacement surgery. If you have a recalled hip implant, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-251-7823 to see if your implant is affected by the recalls. If you or a loved one has a defective or recalled hip implant, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-251-7823. That's 800-251-7823. Protect your legal rights today. Call 800-251-7823.
The attorney responsible for this advertisement is Carrie L. Steigerwald. Admitted in California, office address 4350 Executive Drive, Suite 150, San Diego, California, 92121. Cases may be referred to or independently handled by separate local counsel for principal responsibility.
Former IRS agent isn't my job title, but it gets people's attention.
Doug DeMauro, TurboTax Development Manager.
I spent years at the IRS. Now I'm at TurboTax. And my job is to make sure your TurboTax return is completely accurate. One of the things I've done is work on our audit risk meter. It helps identify situations that could trigger an audit. And we also guarantee all calculations are accurate. That way, you can feel confident your taxes are done right.
File today at TurboTax.com. Features may vary.
Talk radio and talk television, the issues of the day in review here, and the GOP race with the Iowa caucuses. MSNBC sent us Chuck Todd, who talks here to Rick Perry about the state of his campaign and what he thinks about Rick Santorum.
Do you feel like you've stalled? Do you feel like you're losing momentum, or do you think we're all wrong?
I think we're gaining momentum, actually, as we've been out on the bus tour here for the last 2 weeks. Big crowds and excited crowds, you know, people coming that were undecided and leaving decided that they're going to be supporting us. So I think the, 41% of the people out there are either not decided or inclined to change who they're going to support. So the idea that these polls are indicative of what tomorrow night's going to be, I think is a little bit of a stretch. People are looking for a committed fiscal and social conservative, and I fit the bill, outsider. They're sick of Washington, D.C.
I have had a lot of the old-timers here, a lot of the Iowa smart guys say, too bad Governor Perry didn't do what Rick Santorum did and spent more time in Iowa starting in October. Do you regret that?
Well, listen, it is what it is. I didn't even make a decision to consider running until June, and then late June, and we weren't here until the 13th of August, so it was a I can't, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Sure.
Is an interesting debate, but the fact is we're going to do fine tomorrow. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
What's fine?
We'll be in the top tier. I have no doubt about it. And
I assume that is not fifth.
Yeah,
and you need to be at least top four.
Yeah, but we don't have to be anywhere because this race is a long way from being won. I'm the only one of the social conservatives and the fiscal conservatives that are running that actually has the ability to raise the money, to have the organization, to run through and finish the primary process. Santorum and Bogman don't. And so we're going to be able to go compete in South Carolina and Florida and Nevada and obviously in Texas. At the end of the day, we have the national organization and the fundraising capability to run through this thing. Plus, we're the outsider. They're all, Washington insiders that have either, for whatever purpose, Rick Santorum, a serial pork barrel earmarker.
He responded to you on this yesterday, on Meet the Press.
Rick Perry was hiring lobbyists to fleece America then, because he was hiring lobbyists to represent the state of Texas to get more money back. And I suspect if you ask Kay Hutchison or if you ask John Cornyn or any of the Texas delegation whether Rick Perry wanted money coming back to the state of Texas that Texans sent there, they'd say, yes, he did.
That was the way the process was. But he gets up and talks about, what a
fiscal... Well, that's his argument, is that that's the
No,
process.
The argument is, I'm a fiscal conservative, you need to vote for me. And his other argument is, I'm the guy that can win. And he got beat by 18 points in his last race. This guy has proven that he can't win races when it matters against a liberal Democrat. Rick is a fine man. But the fact is, his rhetoric doesn't match up with his record at all.
Why do you think he is rising? This seems to be a little bit of this. Somebody has described it as whack a candidate here. It's like every time one of you comes up down, everybody comes up, whether it's the media or the Mitt Romney campaign.
Over the course of the next 48 hours, he's going to be vetted very well. They're going to look and see his support for Arlen Specter back in 2004. Arlen Specter being the guy who brought us the 60th vote on TARP and Obamacare, and he supported him. That's a movement conservative. I don't think so.
Here's radio host Brian Freeman with political correspondent Dottie Lynch about Newt Gingrich, and his continuing slide.
What really happened to Newt's surge in the polls? Was it all the negative advertising these other candidates are doing?
I think it was a lot of that. I think a lot of those conservatives in Iowa were shopping, may still be shopping, for an alternative to Romney. He looked really good in the debates, and then wham. They were either informed or reminded of a lot of that baggage of him being a Washington insider and being a lobbyist, and he didn't counter it. He didn't go to Iowa. He didn't have the money to do advertising to counter it, and it just went away almost as fast as it came.
It certainly did come up and go away. Looks like Romney's poised to be the possible victor in this. Ron Paul in there somehow. Is it still holding that way this morning?
Well, it is, except Rick Santorum is coming up, the dark horse coming up at the end in the Iowa poll that was released on Sunday. Santorum was in third place, but in the last two nights of their polling, he went into second place, and the last night he was only 1 point below Romney. So I think Santorum is the one that everyone's watching. Paul may be fading a little bit, and Romney, as he has all along, just holding, but holding only at that 24-25% level.
Is Iowa really looked at as kind of the caucuses actually weed out some of the weaker candidates, or do you think that, like Perry and Bachman, they're heading to South Carolina, they're just going to skip New Hampshire, apparently. What's your read on that?
Well, Perry, at least, is going to go to New Hampshire next weekend.
Okay.
There are two debates. So he may not be doing a lot of campaigning, but he doesn't want to miss the debate. So there's an ABC debate on Saturday night and Meet the Press and Facebook on Sunday morning. So they'll be there for a little bit, but they feel their next best shot is South Carolina. If they can raise the money, if they do poorly in Iowa, may even be hard for them to raise the money to compete in South Carolina.
The spigot may be turned off, basically, at that point.
Exactly, and that's what happens. If you don't finish in that top three or four in Iowa, your money dries up, your support, and the field tends to narrow pretty quickly. And we think probably by South Carolina and definitely Florida on the 31st of January, we'll have a pretty small field.
Up next, Sarah Palin has some advice for a few of the candidates. Drop out, get out. That's next here on the Countdown.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panel to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
So, the issues of the day, again, talk radio and talk television. Here's Eric Bolling talking to Sarah Palin, who thinks it's time for several of the candidates to just get lost.
After the Iowa caucuses, the results come in, 1, 2, and 3, whoever they may be. Will we see a few of them drop out if it's not the maybe the leaders right now, Romney, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, and maybe even Newt Gingrich? Anyone else, if they don't end up in the top 3 or 4, do you think they'll drop?
Well, you know, I don't think Rick Perry is going to drop out because he's still got money. And money, of course, buys attention. And he'll be able to get that attention in New Hampshire and beyond, perhaps. I think Huntsman should drop out because he didn't even give it the old college try in Iowa. And I think that that's offensive to the entire GOP and to the entire field in America, where, you know, the kind of the heart and soul of America there being represented in Iowa. And Huntsman doesn't even want to give it the effort that I think most of us would have liked to have seen. So I think Huntsman, he's polling only 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever the single digits are today. Perhaps he'll be dropping out unless he wants to start spending his own money and perhaps even go into debt to run for president. Eric, I do think that we'll see perhaps Huntsman drop out. And as for Michelle Bachmann, you know, she has a lot to offer also, but I don't think it's her time this go around. And I believe that unless she too wants to spend her own money or start borrowing money and perhaps go into debt, which, heaven forbid, you know, you do that to your family. Perhaps she is one, too, who would start saying, hey, supporters of mine, why don't we coalesce around one of the other candidates and let's move together as a team to get that right primary candidate chosen.
Radio man Tom Rose talking to Congressman Todd Rokita of Indiana about his reason for endorsing Mitt Romney.
Give us your argument for Governor Romney as GOP presidential nominee.
Well, sir, let me start by you characterizing it as now. I was with Mitt back in 2008. I was the kind of the Indiana coordinator lead for his campaign in 2008. So I got to know him back as early as 2006. And you know, it was through that personal interaction and getting to work with him that I'm sticking with him and sticking with him now. But beyond that, if you assume that I just endorsed him yesterday the reasons would be very similar. They would be the fact that he's got the best toolbox to take on the current president, and he comes with the most complete package, certainly not perfect from a campaign or procedural perspective, but he comes with the most tools in the box to take on this guy, and I think that's important. Electability, ability to execute a strategy and campaign is very important, as we're seeing from some of the other candidates who are flailing or who have already gotten out. So there's that, but even beyond that, more important than that is the fact that I'm looking for a partner when I go to Washington, D.C., that understands how to run something. And if you look at the federal government as a business, and it's not a perfect analogy, but in most respects you can and you should. And this is coming from a guy who used to run a bureaucracy. I need a guy who knows how to run something, who has the administrative and executive experience to do that. And Mr. Obama certainly isn't that. And other guys, like Newt Gingrich, are not that. And so that's why I'm with Romney. Now, are there some issues that I have yet to get good answers on, and that we are owed answers on? Absolutely. Chief among them is this idea that the Earth is not only warming, but it's warming due to human intervention. That has not been proven. The point is that even if it is cyclical, I think it's a very arrogant thing to conclude that humans had anything to do with it, have anything to do with it. And until that's shown to me with good science, I am not gonna cost our economy, the world economy, trillions of dollars on a bender.
Rick Santorum weighs in on his recent surge in the polls. We'll have that focus for you next here on The Countdown.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
Only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Listen to good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. Geico makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
We're at half past the hour, halfway through this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show, with our attention on Iowa and the GOP candidates. Here's host Steve Malzberg talking to Rick Santorum about his recent surge there in Iowa.
What has changed that gave you the numbers that you now have and the opportunity that you're now facing?
I've always said that, you, as you mentioned, if you have the right message and you have the record to back it up and you have the experience to do the job and the authenticity and the trust of the people, that, you know, money and all the fame that comes with national media attention, you know, just, I really believe couldn't buy the state of Iowa, that the way that you could win Iowa is to go out and do 360 town hall meetings, which I've done, in all 99 counties of the state, and just continue to get out there and get that message across to folks, and message of pro-growth, a message of strong national security and traditional family values, and, you know, the all three legs. I actually think that's four legs. It's also talking about constitutional principles and making sure those constitutional principles are reflected in what happens in Washington, D.C., and that's what we've done. And you know, as Iowans have decided, you know, come down here in the last 2 weeks, you know, now that they're doing things that nobody else in the country is doing, they're making decisions and they're looking at all the candidates. And this is not, this is why Iowa is so important in my mind. It's not everybody in Iowa. It is folks who are the folks who really do pay attention. These are folks who are going to go to a caucus. These are people who are going to go and drive, in many cases, a half an hour or so to get to their caucus location and on a cold Tuesday night and spend an hour, hour and a half in a caucus selecting the president. And that is a different kind of situation that
that these folks are going to pay a lot more attention. They're going to get serious about who they think is the best candidate because they know they're making a huge recommendation to the country. And I always felt that, you know, I could trust them that when they made that decision, when they had the, you know, got down here the last 2 weeks, that that would be our spark. People always ask, what's going to be your spark? I say January 3rd. That's my spark. Iowa will be our spark. And that's, I'm hopeful what we're seeing happening right now.
You are surging. I don't want to say you're peaking because I don't know if the 16-17% is the peak. What do you hope to see come Tuesday? What do you think? How high is up for you right now?
Well, I mean, here's the way I look at it. All of these polls ran from about the beginning of last week into the end of last week into to the middle of this week, and so they've run over a period of time. When I was sitting in the mid-single digits and people were responding, and now we're finding, you know, people saying we're at 16% or so, I would hope that, you know, what we're seeing, and we'll see in this next round of polls, or if there are no more polls than at the caucus, is people now who were voting, who were saying they were for us when, frankly, nobody thought we could win. Now people think, well, maybe this is the alternative, the conservative alternative to Romney, and I think it creates a little bit of a wind in our back that even more people will come our way as they have to decide between, you know, the two or three conservative candidates that they're looking at to match up against Romney and hopefully push Ron Paul back in, you know, down into second, from second place to third place, at least do that. So we were hoping that, you know, we can, if third would be, look, if you asked me a week ago when we were sitting at 5%, would I take third place in Iowa? I'd sign that document, you know, in a heartbeat. But now I think, you know, maybe we can move potentially a little higher than that.
Here's what a few of the callers have had to say about Rick Santorum's sudden rise on a couple of programs in Iowa.
I'm a Democrat, of course, and I would never vote for a Republican, but I am quite impressed with Santorum for what he stands for, and he seems to be what the Republicans are looking for. The rest of the crew, I don't know. Romney is a flip-flopper, and everybody knows Ron Paul would never be elected president. I don't know why all these people are. I kind of like Ron Paul, but he will never be elected president, and I think the Republicans know that. Eliminate all these departments and stuff, Department of Energy and Education, and even the hardcore Republicans know that he's just too far out there.
I think Rick Santorum is riding at the right time here. I just watched his gathering at Tomo, Iowa. I think he explains his positions really well, and I think that he's kind of my candidate at this point in time right now after watching all the debates. I just like his good conservative values, and I think he's the best choice amongst all the Republicans right now. Some of the other candidates have done in the debates and stuff, like, you know, Rick Perry was kind of had a quick rise there, but he kind of, the way he's performed in the debates, I think he's kind of lost some momentum. Newt Gingrich with his past, with socially and stuff like that, I think that people have a problem with that. And so I think that, you know, after this process of weeding out, I think Rick Santorum has, now that he's kind of been out and got his message out, I think people are more on board with what he wants to do and what he has to say.
Okay, so the latest on Iran and this week's missile test. That's in review next year on the Talk Radio Countdown.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush us aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full, intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership, order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140.
Hey there, you've reached Claire. Leave me a message.
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Call 1-800-510-3558. That's 1-800-510-3558. 1-800-510-3558.
So let us begin our discussion of Iran. The news side first, Jamie Colby with Colonel Cedric Layton of the U.S. Air Force about how concerned we ought to be. The Iran missile test over the weekend got a lot of people's attention.
It feels to me more that like it's more than saber rattling at this point, because they made the announcement that they have now developed one of these nuclear fuel rods. How big a development is that for Iran?
Jamie, that can be a really huge development, because what that means is there's a possibility of using that fuel rod, that nuclear fuel rod, to weaponize a nuclear weapon. And what that means then, if they couple that with a viable delivery system, that could then lead them to really pose a danger not only to the Arab states that are bordering the Persian Gulf, but also ultimately to Europe and potentially to the United States as well.
Okay, so now that you've frightened us, what do we do about it? Because the sanctions come and the sanctions go. There's
right.
Four or more sets in place, and Iran continues to do whatever the heck it wants, and time passes, and they develop new and different material.
Well, the basic idea with Iran is that I think the only way that you can really deal with them is through a very strong position. We weakened our position just from a geostrategic standpoint by withdrawing our forces from Iraq. However, we are once again present in the Persian Gulf. The Fifth Fleet has been there for many, many years. They're headquartered in Bahrain. And so they are there to really make sure that those sea lanes of communication, as we call them, are kept open. And the Straits of Hormuz, of course, is a very important sea lane of communication with 20% of the world's oil going through there. So it's in our interest to keep the straits open. Iran has threatened, as you know, to close the Straits of Hormuz out of one side of their mouths, and out of the other side of their mouth, they say, oh no, we're not doing it. We're just testing our weapons to make sure that they can actually handle any type of contingency that might come up.
Right, but they could do that next week. They didn't have to do it at a time that the tensions are so high. The Fifth Fleet is at the ready. I mean, they're in a very vulnerable position right now, the Fifth Fleet. And I have to ask you this question, Colonel, because I asked a couple of my military experts that joined me over the weekend. Why is it that we're the only nation that is poised to take on Iran if, in fact, they continue doing what they're doing? Where the heck are the other nations?
Well, it's basically a question of their defensive capabilities. And, you know, one of the things that the Obama administration tried to do was they tried to make sure that that NATO was up to par in Libya. Now, that had actually mixed results. It was ultimately successful. But what the Libyan operation was designed to do was really show the Europeans that they needed to up the ante in terms of their defensive and offensive military capabilities that they neglected for quite a number of years. When it comes to the Iranian situation in terms of military power, the one nation that is best suited, that is outside of the Middle East, to help us is Great Britain. They are basically ready to help us with various military options that we may look at. Of course, there's also Israel within the Middle East and Saudi Arabia. So I think in the case of an Iranian scenario, if we work very diligently with these countries, we can probably gain support not only from Israel and Saudi Arabia. This would obviously is a case of strange bedfellows.
Here are our hosts, Brad Krantz and Britt Whitmire, talking to ABC's Linda Albin about what we know and what we don't know in pursuit of nuclear weaponry in the country of Iran.
Here we begin the year, and the noise out of Iran gets louder and louder and louder. It was kind of kicking up last week when they threatened to close up the Straits of Hormuz there and mess around with oil, but I don't think anybody took that all that seriously. Where are we on that story, and where are we on the actual development of nuclear weapons story here as we start the year?
I think we're not sure, to be honest. The experts are not weighing in. I think out of all of this, there are a couple of things. First of all, a lot of this is in response to the tightening of the screws on Iran, specifically the legislation that President Obama signed into law on the 31st, which cut off from the U.S. financial system foreign firms that do business with the Iranian Central Bank. That's like kicking somebody in the guts. That really can hurt. And President Ahmadinejad, who has hit back saying that the bank is strong enough to defeat, quote, enemy plans, that's a typical kind of rhetoric, I think he is worried. You know, his position isn't all that secure. He's got the Revolutionary Guard to worry about. He's got the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, to worry about. And he has got the economy to worry about. The other stuff that's been happening, of course, is this 10-day naval drill exercise in and around the Strait of Hormuz, which, as you point out, is strategic. It carries a significant amount of the world's oil supply through it. It is saber-rattling, after all, to be honest. Yesterday, they say they test-fired successfully a medium-range missile. It must have been a short-range, because today, they say they fired two long-range missiles, a Gadar and a Nur, which is a copy of a Chinese missile. If you ask the experts, they say those are actually medium- to short-range missiles. What I think is most significant coming out of Iran is the fact that they claim to have produced the country's first homegrown, if you will, nuclear fuel rod, which they say was inserted into the Tehran nuclear reactor. Now, whether or not it has the pellets, whether or not it works, whether or not they have the capability, it's something which the West had doubted, we don't know. That would up the ante significantly, I think.
Here's host Steve Summers with a military analyst about the aircraft deal the U.S. made with Saudi Arabia and what Iran had to do with that.
I wanted to ask you about the U.S. touting yesterday Saudi Arabia's $30 billion F-15 fighter aircraft deal. Tell me about this.
Well, this is a happy new year for the Saudis, but a bad new year for the Iranians here. $30 billion for the 84 top-of-the-line F-15 SA fighter jets. Now, this is an old jet. It's not stealthy. It's been around since 72. It's going to be refurbished and updated with the latest computers, radars, electronic warfare systems, and be one of the most capable aircraft in the world.
Now, they've been working on this deal for a year. Is the timing because Iran making their threats the last few days?
Well, the U.S. says it's not, but I suspect they reveal this because they're going to make the Iranians very nervous here. And I worked on my watch back in the late 80s with the Saudis on the E-3 AWACS, Airborne Warning Control System. And they have four of those, and that helps direct fighter craft into their targets. So they already have 70 F-15s on board when I was over there. They're going to refurbish those two, plus 84. That gives them a very capable capable Air Force. Now, this aircraft, the F-15, can go from the runway, into the runway, to 60,000 feet in 3 minutes flat. It carries a lot of weapon systems, a very capable aircraft. It's got to give the Iranians a big headache.
And doesn't this also give, the production of these, give a lot of Americans jobs?
That's right. It's a job-generating contract. Boeing built the F-15s and generated support for 50,000 American jobs. That's good news for our economy, Steve.
All right, and the deal also comes at a time the Pentagon considers supplying bunker buster bombs to some of the other key Gulf allies. Why is this?
That's right. The United Arab Emirates, what we're doing in that region, we're supplying, like the bunker busters, Israelis also have some of those, weapons systems, munitions. So Iran is getting surrounded by a bunch of their neighbors with a lot of high-tech weapons systems. So they make a move that's going to be a big crunch on the Iranians. They've got to be sweating on this one.
The next item of interest here on the countdown of this hour, the National Defense Authorization Act. That'll be scrutinized here on the Talk Radio Countdown in a moment.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family, peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life, and they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com, and for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
As we continue our focus on talk radio and the discussions on talk television, the National Defense Authorization Act has been signed over the weekend. Here is host Jan Michelson with Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky about why he and Senator McCain nearly came to blows on the floor of the Senate over this legislation.
This is a big deal. I think it was yesterday the president signed into law the National Defense Administration Act or something like that. I think it's called NDAA. You and Senator McCain almost came to, you did come to some pretty tense language, but to say you guys really went at each other on the Senate floor over this. Tell us your opinion of this legislation, what your reservations are. Even the president, he issued a signing statement, says, even though I have the power to detain Americans indefinitely, I will never do it.
Right. Well, on a personal basis, Senator McCain and I get along well, and I respect him as a war hero, and I respect his service to our country. I did ask him a question on the floor, though. My question was, if this bill passes, could a U.S. citizen be accused of a crime in the United States and be sent to Guantanamo Bay for indefinite detention without a trial by a jury? And his answer essentially was yes. That concerns me, particularly because the government now puts out bulletins with descriptions of people you need to report that they might be terrorists. This description by the FBI says that people with missing fingers, people with stains on their clothes, people who like to pay in cash, people who buy weatherized ammunition, people who have large...
What's weatherized ammunition?
I think it's for when you hunt. The boxes are somehow weatherized to keep the ammunition from getting wet.
To keep your powder dry.
There you go. But the thing is if we're going to say that people are potentially terrorists because they like to pay in cash or because they have large stores of food, one of the things was if you have more than 7 days of food. The irony is there's another government website that says you should have 7 days of food in case there's a natural disaster.
Yes.
And so, but what my concern is that now what they're talking about is people could be arrested for association with terrorism if they meet some of these characteristics, and I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned that if you say, I don't agree with what my government's doing and I don't like big government, are you somehow now someone who's a potential terrorist? That concerns me. It also concerned me that we had 800 years of developing jury by trial. It's worked pretty well. It helps to protect the innocent. It gives you a chance to defend yourself. And I think it's an important thing not to give up.
Host Jeff Berg talks to law professor Scott Moss about some of the things hidden in the National Defense Authorization Act, specifically the right to indefinitely detain suspected terrorists.
The part of this that has got people the most worked up, and justifiably so, by the way, is that the act, if read a certain way, could provide the president with the authority to indefinitely detain citizens. As you point out, the Supreme Court has said, no, you can't do that. And that's where the president's signing statement comes in. He knows, certainly he knows, and his administration knows, that the minute they start trying to round up American citizens and throw them in the clink without charging them and just hold them indefinitely, that the Supreme Court will say, no, you can't do that. And so in order to preserve the other parts of the law that might be questionable, he's just not going to do that so that it can never be tested in the courts. Is that a fair statement?
That's right. And the backdrop here is that Congress can say what it wants, but A, it can't say something that's contrary to Supreme Court opinion. And even Justice Scalia said, if you have a U.S. citizen, you can't just detain the guy. So he was really clear on that. The Supreme Court handed four losses to the Bush administration that were quite embarrassing about citizens and non-citizens alike. And a signing statement can't override the law. You're exactly right. The quirky part is that the president, as commander-in-chief and head of federal prosecution forces, essentially in courts, doesn't have to detain or prosecute anybody. He can instruct folks in the battlefield not to shoot at a guy. He can instruct them to stop shooting, etc. So it gives the president powers that he largely doesn't have to use. So this bill is bad, but there is a bit of a silver lining in that the Supreme Court's four decisions against President Bush really rein in what Congress can claim to do to people it wants to detain.
Right. Go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
And secondly, the president doesn't have to use any powers. Now, the concern is that if we end up with President Rick Perry or Mitt Romney in 2012, this president will view that law in a very different way and say, oh, goody, I get to detain people.
Right, and that was exactly what I was about to say, is to ask you about what subsequent presidents might do with something like this. I mean, look, we may believe that Barack Obama will be benevolent in the use of this power, but that is, first of all, something that no one has any right to ever rely on, and number two, certainly not applicable to potential successors in office. And so that's I think, naive at best in terms of a reading of that law.
More on these items of interest in the Talk Radio Countdown Show section, right there on the homepage, prominently located. You can see it at DougStephan.com.